Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, everybody, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
And good morning.
Nothing else? Just...
I always hesitate to start too soon.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably going to get in trouble at some point in the program. I don't want to, you know, do it too soon.
Listen, you're on the right show if you're thinking about people getting in trouble.
Okay.
We get in trouble all the time on this program.
Fair enough.
Nothing wrong with that. Fred Jackson, good morning to you, sir.
But not me.
You don't get in trouble?
No, you
do what Brother Bert does on Exploring the Word. When things get hot, you just pitch the question to us.
Over to you, Alex.
You guys go off the cliff. I'll watch. Right. You leave your wallet on the top of the cliff. I'll return it to your family.
But that's right. But since 1977, since AFA has been in existence, we have not hardly covered many controversial issues of any kind.
That's right.
Or tiptoed around anything. So, but today will be the first time. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Obviously tongue in cheek, being sarcastic there. Looking forward to today. We've got, as the program's called, Today's Issue. So we will cover the issues of today.
That's right. And you know, the fact of the matter is, guys, we're on the, like, this show is 90 minutes, roughly
right.
90 minutes. This isn't scripted. I mean, we do go over the stories we're going to cover, but our opinions, what we plan on saying, it's not scripted. We all have other jobs, tasks we're working on between our meeting in the morning and the show. So, you know, when someone throws a question to any of us and says, hey, what do you think about this? It's not always easy to say something that doesn't get you in trouble.
That's right. Well, also, too, even within that, occasionally, we'll also have a breaking story that comes in that we didn't even talk about at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
Too. So that'll happen, too. So where do we go with the negative comments? Oh, or only encouraging comments.
Yes.
Where do we go with that?
Encouraging only. So
I think, is it AF? What is it, Adam?
Oh, it's comments at AFR.net.
Comments at AFR.net. There you can send all your positive, encouraging comments. I did mention a couple weeks back about using that email. If you have something that you want us to cover, we don't promise anything because we've got, you know, there's a lot of things that go into, you know, planning a program. But we'd be interested to know if there's something you want us to cover. If we can get to it, we will.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, that does sometimes take a day or two for your email to comments at AFR.net to get to find their way upstream, downstream, whatever you want to call it, to the right person. So there's
upstream,
somebody who monitors
downstream.
That. Well, I was going to say upstream, but I didn't want to imply that we're elitists.
Oh,
here,
okay. And that's
it'll,
fair.
It'll find its way to the superior intellects.
Upstream.
Upstream, yeah. So sometimes we're upstream, sometimes we're downstream.
That's true.
All right. Fred, start us off and get us into trouble. What's the story?
No, we're going to have a moment on today's program. From time to time, we've been known to be critical of President Joe Biden.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling a little bit sorry for him this morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video making the rounds. In fact, it's on the front of Fox News right now. There was an event at the White House yesterday, Juneteenth. And there was music being played at one point. I think it was a live performance, a very upbeat performance. And the video shows people kind of dancing and clapping and that sort of thing.
Moving to the beat.
Yeah. But President Joe Biden is not moving. Now, there's a headline that says Biden appears to completely freeze as VP and others dance next to him at Juneteenth event. Well, he is 80 years old or 81.
I think he's 81.
81. And I have to say, if there was young, youthful, energetic music playing and I was in the room, I probably wouldn't be dancing along with it. I think it was an awkward moment for the president. He's 81 years old, and the people around him are much younger. Now, the vice president is next to him, and she's clapping and moving and...
moving to the beat.
Do I say jiving? Yeah. Is jiving?
You shouldn't have gone there.
Jiving. Okay. Anyway, her husband.
A friend.
Is, I don't know. I'm old. Well,
we were just talking about putting your foot in your mouth.
Yeah.
Jiving.
Anyway, her husband, Kamala Harris' husband, now he's not moving and grooving either.
No.
There you go. Moving and grooving. That's
yeah.
Moving
that's
and
it.
Grooving. But so I, at this moment, I just want to say I feel sorry for the president. I don't think he was in his element at that point.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's unfair to say it had to do with, you know, him in a complete freeze. I just.
Because the implication was he's in a complete freeze because of his age again. He's doing yeah. something. I agree. We did talk about this, and I had, all I had seen was the little video that goes along, the little 2-second video clip that goes along with the headline on Fox, and it loops, and so it does appear like he's like a deer caught in the headlights and frozen. Mm-hmm. But that's because it's being looped. Exactly right. I don't think you're jive talking, Fred, on this. We need to try to be fair to the president.
Yeah,
he's got enough absolutely wicked ideas in play. We can criticize those, but it looks like, listen, I was never a good dancer. Even when I was in high school, I was not a good dancer. At 81 years old, I would just be trying to stand upright. And besides, nowadays, if you're in the left side of the camp in this country, Wesley, you're terrified if you're white, like the president.
Sure.
You're terrified of making a mistake that's going to anger part of your base.
On Juneteenth.
And Juneteenth, of course, is a federal holiday. It is especially celebrated in the black community as it is a recognition of the end of slavery. I think all Americans should celebrate that, obviously. But he is amongst, for the most part, a bunch of black people. The white people are on the left are so scared of cultural appropriation and you know, taking the culture that would include dancing. So if he did freeze, I wouldn't blame him if he made a mistake, he would hear about it.
Yeah, I think he made the right call here. Now, I don't know if he knows he made the right call, but no, I don't think – I think this is just another day in the news outlet where they're looking for something because they don't got something.
Right.
Okay, I want to get back to the – because Joe Biden did unload at Juneteenth yesterday with what race baiting is what we would call. But there's breaking news right now out of Delaware. The jury in the Hunter Biden case has reached a verdict. We do not know what it is at this very moment.
But we'll get it.
But we will get it very shortly.
It doesn't appear – we're looking – we mentioned this before on this show. We have a television in here with – and the screen is split in four, and there are different news outlets. So four different news outlets. There's Fox, CNN, BBC, and MSNBC, and they are
reporting.
They are reporting that the verdict is to be read in the Hunter gun trial soon.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. We talked about this at our story meeting this morning. I felt this would be a quick one. Now, obviously, we're not sure how the jury's going to go on this. I would say, listening to all the evidence that came in during the trial last week, there was an abundance of evidence to support the charge against Hunter Biden.
Right.
That he was using hard drugs when he filled out that form to purchase that gun, and that form had a checkbox that said, I'm not using drugs,
right,
or something along that line. The evidence, including some family members of Hunter Biden,
right,
was ample, I'll put it that way. Now, this is taking place in Delaware. The Biden family has many friends there. Mm-hmm. Could it be a possibility that at least some jury members are good friends with the Biden family,
right,
and feel sorry for the Biden family? The First Lady, Jill Biden, was in the courtroom every day.
Right.
to support Hunter Biden. So it can go either way, but I think if it was to go with the evidence, they would have to find him guilty. Yeah. But we should know momentarily.
And I will just say this. My guess is that this is not a hung jury, because that seems like it would take longer. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing we are going to get a relatively clear cut. Either I think we think he's innocent or we think he's guilty. I would also say I read something this morning that President Joe Biden was asked whether he would pardon Hunter.
Yes.
If he was found guilty.
I didn't see that was the answer.
He said no.
Yes.
I personally don't believe that.
Sure.
I think if he is found guilty and is going to be sentenced to prison, mm-hmm. I think Joe Biden would probably pardon.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Okay, back to Juneteenth at the White House yesterday. The president was extremely animated in a speech that he gave at that event. And sadly, as he's been known to do in the past, he decided to play the race card. Yeah. And to be warning black people that if you don't vote Democrat in this coming election, you are going to be persecuted by the other side. So here's a little bit of the Biden speech from yesterday, cut one.
But let's be clear. They're all ghosts in new garments trying to take us back. Well, there are. Taking away your freedoms, making it harder for black people to vote. Well, or have your vote counted. Closing doors of opportunity. Attacking the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
None of those things is true.
Right.
That's the bottom line in this.
You know, Wesley, this is, first of all, I think part of the reason why the president spends so much time race baiting is because I think in the Democratic Party, there is some concern that a certain percentage, I have no idea how large, but a certain percentage of black votes, especially amongst black men in this country, might be drifting towards President Trump, and President Biden has to shore up that support by race baiting. Except for activists who love that kind of stuff, I'm not sure how the average black person in this country is going to take that bait when they are, like everybody else, drowning at the grocery store.
Yeah, I think when President Trump was in office, I think that was probably a little bit more effective for him. But now most people are more concerned about what's happening at the border. They're more concerned about their wallets. We've talked about this, you know, several times a week leading up to the election, that I think they're looking through that, the race baiting, and more concerned about, because you'd have to give, to your point, you got some that believe that to nauseam, where it's irrational and it's just about race for them and no logic. But to your point, is I think there a lot of voters are looking past, especially on the left, a lot of Democrats are looking past the color of people's skin and more concerned about finances. Now, we remember a couple of years back, 50 Cent, who is a rapper, he's a black rapper, he said, talking specifically about the Democrat policies of New York, he said, well, I'm going to vote for Trump because I don't want to be 20 Cent.
Right.
Because he was talking about the
finance. Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Finances. Talking about the tax policy. He falls under the tax bracket under the Biden policy of like 60% taxes.
Right.
And he was like, I don't want that. So he himself, who is a longtime black voting Democrat, is more concerned about his pocket than the color of skin.
Fred, we're seeing on television now the Hunter Biden verdicts are in.
Yes, guilty on all charges.
Yep.
Count one, false statement with regards to the firearms sale, guilty. Count two, false statement, transaction record, guilty. Count three, illegal possession of a firearm, guilty.
Yes.
That makes him a felon, correct?
Yes.
I believe that's right.
He's a felon. He would not be allowed to own a gun.
Those are probably the only crimes he's ever committed, though. Yeah. I mean, just those three, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you make...
Yes.
Right. Right.
So, listen, I'm just going to tell you, I'm a little surprised. I thought that Delaware jury Would
you think another one would just get away?
Yes, yeah, I really did. So now,
not,
of course,
not because of the evidence, just because of how these things usually play out.
Right.
Yep. I know.
Politically biased.
Yep.
So I am surprised, guilty on all three counts. Now, sentencing has not occurred yet.
No.
So we don't know if he will actually go to prison, if he has to pay fines or both. Maybe he gets probation. Maybe he gets house arrest.
We don't know.
I would think that the judge, so here I go predicting again, I would think that since Hunter Biden is such a well-known figure of the president of the United States, his son, they may decide on house arrest just for his own safety.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think he'll do prison time.
Right.
I don't think so. In this case, I would be very surprised. I think there will be a hefty fine. Of course, they're going to appeal this.
Right.
So this is going to go on. But this is, don't forget, there is another trial coming, which some people say is even more serious.
Yeah.
Having to do
tax with evasion.
Tax evasion.
Yeah.
And that's coming up in that jurisdiction is California. So we'll have to wait and see. But as I was saying, having followed this now in the last 10 days and the evidence that the prosecution put forward, and don't forget, this is Joe Biden's DOJ
right
leading the charge on this. Statements are going to be made from the left. The Justice Department is not biased because the right has been saying that
right.
about Trump. So now they're going, you know, they're going to be up. The Biden side is going to be able to say, see, the justice did its job here.
Yeah.
And they found my son guilty. So we'll have to wait and see. I think there'll be a period here. Arguments are going to have to be made, pre-sentence arguments
right.
from both sides. What Hunter Biden should, what penalty he has to pay, but we'll wait and see. But guilty on all charges.
Yes.
Yes.
So anyway, that is the that is breaking news regarding the trial, the Hunter Biden trial. And as we mentioned, sentence. I don't even know how long it'll take for sentencing, for the sentencing hearing and decision to be made. And then, like you said, there may be appeals. If I was Hunter Biden, I would just say, I'm not going to appeal it. Let's just try to get some sort of reduced sentence with house arrest, community service, fine.
Yeah.
I don't think the guy's hurting for money.
No.
So pay the fine and move on. I don't know how it would help him to appeal this. I think the evidence was pretty overwhelming.
It was.
So.
It was.
Anyway.
All right. More bad news for the Biden reelection campaign today, because there is a new poll out this morning, AP NORC poll out this morning, on his student loan bailout and where the American people are with that. And the news is not good. Only 3 in 10 U.S. adults say they approve of that multi-billion-dollar bailout plan. Very, very interesting. And this is AP NORC, which is not a conservative organization.
Right.
But what they were finding is that even people who might benefit from this are amongst those who are opposed to it.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes.
I do think if you don't have student loans or you're past that or you never did, I can see them being that category being 100% against it. But I would think that a lot of people that have it would be more caught up in the emotions of it and not the logic of it and say, yes, I support it. So you're saying it's actually the opposite?
Well, at least some in the no category,
okay.
in the category that are saying, no, I don't agree with this. And I think for the same reasons we've talked about this bailout a number of times on this program, I think the issue is fairness.
Right.
For a lot of people.
Yeah.
Not to mention the size of this.
Sure.
Right.
You know, number one, a lot of people, the criticism is he's just trying to buy youth vote.
Right.
Yeah.
And using taxpayers' dollars to do it. Remember, the Biden administration basically ignored a Supreme Court ruling
right.
that said they didn't have the authority to do this. And so they've done some kind of, they say, workaround.
Joe Biden even admitted this.
Yes.
The Supreme Court said I couldn't, but we found a way.
We found a way. And the other thing is there's a lot of resentment amongst people who have already paid off their student loans. There's a resentment amongst people who decided, I'm not going to go to university. I'm going to be a welder.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to do something else that doesn't require a university education.
And so my tax dollars are paying.
And that's growing.
Yes.
A lot, especially in the last 5 to 10 years.
Yes.
So that's okay. I see what you're saying.
So I think the American people, and working also against Biden throwing all this money out there, is people are hurting in this economy.
Right.
And I think any discussion that has to do with more, if they can connect it to taxpayer dollars, I think anything along those lines right now, people are just not, they're fed up with it for the most part. They're
right.
fed up with any discussion of our tax dollars going to anything.
Because people are hurting in a number of areas.
Financially.
So people who took out college loans were not forced to do it.
No.
They voluntarily did this.
Yeah.
And so you have people who might be having a hard time paying their mortgages saying, well, why is the government bailing them out?
Yes.
I mean, I'm having a hard time as well. I didn't go to college, or I did go to college and I paid mine off. So why are they getting a break from the government and no one's given me a break for my mortgage? So there's still a lot of people who think in those terms.
Do we happen to have, Fred, do we happen to have any more specifics or details? I know it's out there. I just haven't seen it on exactly how he would go about this. Like, where does it start? Does it start when you're, if you've got $50,000, does it start if you've got $100,000 debt? Does it start if you've got 2 years of college or 4 years? I just wonder the specifics to his strategy of paying off. And here's a question: who qualifies?
Yeah, I think there's a long list of stipulations on this. Amongst those stipulations are that you've had to be making a good effort to start to pay it off.
Okay.
All right. So and so,
I'm not laughing at you. I just think.
Yeah, there has to be some qualifications on
sure.
this, but a lot of people are in that category.
Yes.
They've started to make the monthly payments or yearly payments, and so they qualify for this.
Gotcha.
So
and one of the reasons I ask is because if you're right there on the, if you have student loans but you don't quite all of their qualifications, you're mad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're close.
Right.
But you don't quite make it. Now, we need some more exceptions.
Yes. that would be, there would be a group, there'd be a percentage of people who would think that as well.
When you introduce this type of ideology or this type of idea, then you're creating people that will be mad because you're excluding somebody somewhere
right.
that would not have otherwise been excluded if you didn't say, I'm going to pay your debt.
It's the same kind of thing with ideas like reparations.
Yes.
Because reparations, you have to have, you have to figure out, okay, who would qualify for reparations?
Yes.
How do we determine who's a descendant of a slave? And just how big a percentage? What if you're only 25% the descendant of a slave? So to your point, once you start handing out free money, everybody wants it. And you have to draw some lines. You have to draw a box around it
somehow.
You're
creating somebody mad. You're getting someone mad unnecessarily that wouldn't otherwise be mad if you didn't get involved in this.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. All right. So, folks, we are going to take a short break. I mean, we have to take a break. This kind of genius that we have been exhibiting here
needs a 2 minute rest.
We need a cool down period for our brains. Yeah. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Joseph Parker, Pastor Joseph Parker, who is an employee here, been many years on staff with us. He works on a project involving the Ten Commandments. We're going to ask him to come and explain that to you. This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis.
Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined by Wesley Wildman and Fred Jackson. Folks, who mentioned before the break that the Hunter Biden trial has concluded with a guilty verdict on all charges for Hunter Biden. Fred, you're going to update our listeners in terms of where they could find some good information on this.
Yes, you can go to AFN.net, and there is a story that's just been posted there to give you all the latest details. Three charges, found guilty on all three counts. These are felony, and so now he's a convicted felon, and we will have to wait. I'm not sure how long, but we'll have to wait and see what the verdict is. But the options for the prosecution and for the judge is quite a lengthy period of prison if they elect to go that route, and or fines. But this is the jury only deliberated for an hour yesterday afternoon and just an hour this morning. So they went into this, I guess, with a clear-cut conviction that the evidence that they heard, and there was overwhelming evidence that indeed he purchased that gun in 2018 when he was still on very hard drugs.
Right.
And that is a violation of federal law. You know, somebody has pointed out that federal law is something that the Biden administration has pushed.
Yes.
In the way of greater gun restrictions. And so they can't very well criticize the law in this case. And it's going to be very hard to debate the fact that he was using drugs when he purchased that weapon.
Mm-hmm. Right. And thus lied on the background check,
yes,
the federal form.
Yes.
And checked the box that said, no, I'm not taking
illegal
drugs.
Yes.
And so that's part of the charges, mm-hmm, for which he was convicted. Just briefly, just let our listeners know, those who don't know, AFN.net, you mentioned, is American Family News. Mm-hmm. Just briefly explain what that is and why we encourage people to sign up for that.
Absolutely. American Family News, our website, AFN.net, is the net version of what you hear at the top of the clock here at American Family Radio every day. And we give you the latest details. We have our own team of reporters that's getting reaction to the major stories of the day. And in this case, would illustrate, we give you the breaking news also.
Right.
We have a contract with the Associated Press. And in a big story like this, we get that story out there right away. So if you can go there right now, AFN.net, get this latest story on Hunter Biden, plus all the other stories our guys are working on, Jody Brown and his team, who put those stories together each day. Some of the stories you've heard on our radio newscast this morning are now in print on that site. By the way, we can send you a daily email of a summary of the major news from a Christian perspective. If you go up to the right-hand side of AFN.net, you can just put your email in there, sign up for that daily email. We will only send you that email one time a day, Monday through Friday. And that'll give you a great summary of the day's news from a Christian perspective.
And then if you just click through, you not only go to that story, but you can get to AFN.
Yes.
Because there's other things there that you can look, the videos,
yes,
of things that are happening here and abroad.
Yes, now, sir? Speaking about Hunter Biden lying,
yes,
that would be a ninth commandment.
Yes.
You should not lie.
I like that.
So what are we doing about the Ten Commandments to make sure people know?
Hey, great question. I love that transition. Way to go.
And we missed the fist bump, but nobody saw it. Oh, I said it. If I hadn't said anything, nobody would have known.
That's right. That's right. Pastor Joseph Parker is here with us. He's been on Today's Issues many times before. He hosts Hour of Intercession. Folks, you can either listen at 3 a.m. Central Time. Some people are up. They're working a different shift. They're traveling or whatever. Or you can go and download the podcast for that. Pastor Joseph, welcome to Today's Issues.
Good to be with you all today.
Now, I asked you during the break how long you've been in the pastorate or preaching ministry. And you said since you were
5 days.
Since you were 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And you said it's very nearly 50 years.
2 years be 50 years.
That's right. So
I got the joke with the 5 days. But I heard y'all talking when I walked in. He said 50, and I was like, whoa. Congratulations.
That is a great thing, a great testimony. But it was funny. You did mention your first church. Mm-hmm. You didn't even have a car. How did you get to church?
Well, Dad and Mom drove me.
So at 16 years old, you were pastoring a church. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Amen.
That's awesome.
All right. To Wesley's point, the Ten Commandments. So this is, by the way, Pastor Joseph has a deep and abiding and holy passion for the pro-life cause, but also for the Ten Commandments, making sure that the Ten Commandments remain influential in our culture. So explain to our listeners a little bit about your approach here on the Ten Commandments.
Well, thank you, Ed. Again, thank you for the opportunity to be with you all. You know, I think it's so good for us to know that, you know, we live in a day and time in which people today are often, sadly, too many are trying to put down the Old Testament. Mm. God's Word, it's all Jesus, Old and New Testament. And the Ten Commandments is the moral law of God, which never changes. And they're just as relevant today as they ever were. So it's important for believers to understand that. And even as we talk about issues in the news, some of the biggest challenges and problems in our news are a result of people violating the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. So they're very relevant and grateful to get a chance to do the project. We've been doing the Ten Commandments project for several years now. And specifically, as we're looking at this speech challenge, it got underway June 1st, and it goes to June 30th, and we're inviting young people ages 7 to 17. We're asking them to write, write a speech or have someone help them write a speech on, you know, in years gone by, we've dealt with a specific commandment. This year, the topic is, why are the Ten Commandments important? Which really is a great topic because they're so relevant. They're so relevant to what we see in our culture, literally every day in the news and in our culture on TV. Well, and so we suggest that it be 3 to 5 minutes, but actually any length is fine. And we invite them to record it on their cell phone or on a recording device, upload it to afr.net/10commandments, write the word 10 commandments out, afr.net/10commandments. And we're inviting the students to do that. And again, the deadline, as I said, is the 30th of June. And each participant will get a free 10 Commandments t-shirt, a bookmark, and also we'll be able to get a free resource out of the AFA resource bookstore as well. And
so if you go to AFR.net, though, there's also a banner running across the top. You can click, so go to AFR.net, and you can click the banner as well. It takes you straight to the page. It's got all the details that Pastor Joseph just mentioned and any other potential questions that you could have about this as well.
We've watched some of these in our devotions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, folks, if you get discouraged sometimes about young people, of course, older people always get discouraged about young people, but they learned to sin a lot of times from older people, so we don't get off the hook. But if you ever get discouraged about young people, you ought to check out. Now, do we have past ones on the website for people to look at?
We do.
Videos?
I have to go back and see exactly where to find them on the website, but we do.
Okay.
We actually do.
So, listen, we get inspired in devotions. Sometimes we'll watch these. Pastor Joseph will upload some for us to watch in devotions. And it is very encouraging, Wesley, to see the passion these young people have for the truth of God's word and the moral law.
This year, we're going to go even further than we've gone in the past as to make the most use of this project, because when the project's over, all of the ones that we have on hand, if the parents has agreed, we're going to re-air those on AFR for the following month to inspire and encourage those that are listening to the network. So
wonderful.
If you want to participate in encouraging someone, or you want to participate in inspiring someone in learning scripture and learning the importance of the Ten Commandments, by participating in this, and you'll get to be on AFR.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll be able to re-air some of these in the near future following the conclusion of the project. Obviously, what Pastor Joseph mentioned too, participating, you get a T-shirt, a Ten Commandments T-shirt, a bookmark, and a free item from the Resource Center of your choosing. So I'm thankful that Pastor Joseph is leading this effort. All the information, you go to afr.net/Ten Commandments. My final question for you, Pastor Joseph, who benefits from the Ten Commandments? Is there a portion of people that benefit from the Ten Commandments?
Everybody. And one of the truths behind that, too, is that, like, amongst other things, I think one thing that we've learned is that the church really needs to put kids to work in the kingdom. Mm. Because I recall the year Roe v. Wade was overturned, it just so happened, you know, where God in his sovereignty had us do, "You shall not murder." Mm. We ended up with 37 speeches. Every one of them was powerful. But what was really neat is that many of the children were not, they were bolder to say things than many politicians and preachers were willing to say.
Amen.
About the truth. And powerful, but you see the Holy Spirit working mightily all over these kids as they share truth.
Well, and you have, and parents, you have no idea how this might impact your children,
right,
right,
exactly.
Pastor Joseph? I mean, they start thinking and praying about what they want to say. They say it. They hear themselves saying it, and you have no idea how that word is going to transform your young people.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
the
make
Holy
it kind
Spirit.
Of a family, make it kind of a family project and get involved. So you go to afr.net/Ten Commandments to see more about this exciting project. Now, Pastor Joseph, we're going to let you go, but you also encourage people to pray the Ten Commandments. Explain what that is, and then please lead us in that prayer before you go.
Okay. You know, the Word of God tells us the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and we would be wise as the church daily to pray the Ten Commandments, because, again, the fact is they help us address some of the biggest challenges in our community. So we're going to take time to do that now. Father, thank you, Lord, for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth, and help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Pastor Joseph. We're very appreciative of the work that you do, both on the pro-life, Ten Commandments, and other things you do, especially on your radio program. So, folks, check out the Hour of Intercession. If you're not up at 3 a.m. Central Time, I encourage you to download the podcast and check out what Pastor Joseph has and the Lord has for you through that program. Thank you
Amen.
Again. All right. Exciting stuff. There are so many things that the Lord allows us to do here.
Yeah,
Men
was,
of Honor is one
yeah,
thing.
I was thinking that, about that.
That's a project that you started, I
yeah,
think, here.
Yeah, we do a lot of things here at AFR and AFA, obviously. AFR is the, for those, just, you know, we got different listeners every day. Just a reminder that AFR is the voice, the radio voice to the parent ministry, which is AFR, which is AFA, American Family Association. And we've got a large staff here, over 100 staff here, different departments, different projects going on, and the Ten Commandments is one of them. So it's a great summer project that AFR is hosting for the month of June, and we want as many people to know about it as possible for the reasons that Pastor Joseph mentioned. So go check out AFR.net there for, and you can type in four size Ten Commandments, or just go to AFR.net. There's a banner running across the top. This afternoon, I'll mention just briefly, this afternoon we have our second meeting of Men of Honor here locally. Had 30 young men come last week. Looking forward to the same number of young men. We several godly pastors and men that work here at AFA are discipling and investing in local young men in the Word of God. Pastor Joseph's going to come teach the importance of the Ten Commandments. Then we're going to be building birdhouses.
Ah,
so that our skill this afternoon is going to be handiwork or hardware work, and so we'll be using hammers and drills and that type of thing. So looking forward to it. Pray no one jammed hit the finger. And if I'm supposed to be leading that effort, so I got to be on my P's and Q's and making sure that I'm not looking up while I'm talking and hammering.
Yes.
Because that would be embarrassing, right?
Right.
Here's how you hammer, and then you miss.
It would be embarrassing, but I hope someone's videoing if it does
it
happen.
Does. Yes. And that will go up on Facebook, yeah.
All right, Fred.
All right, we've been talking about the breaking news this hour. Hunter Biden, son of President Joe Biden, found guilty on all charges with connection with his purchase of a gun back in 2018. The jury has accepted the evidence that Hunter Biden lied when he filled out that application about not being on hard drugs when he did that purchase. A lot of reaction already coming in. One of those people reacting is Fox legal analyst Andrew McCarthy, former federal prosecutor. This is how he responded to the conviction of all charges of Hunter Biden, 13.
Well, Hunter got exactly what he was asking for. He wanted this trial. He got it, and he got a big guilty verdict because what he did over the years, his actions and his words that provided the government the evidence for that. What he, I think, has done through this is left open the possibility of an appeal. The Second Amendment issues related to having this kind of drug addiction or drug use at the time of buying or possessing a gun is not necessarily settled law through the Supreme Court. So I see this going through an appellate channel where they're challenging the underlying basis of the law, not his conduct itself.
We also have reaction from another constitutional expert and legal analyst at Fox, Jonathan Turley. He talks about First Lady Jill Biden being in the courtroom, 14.
That was an interesting moment to have the First Lady come in, because I'm sure the prosecutors were not happy with having this array of Biden family members, very famous figures behind Hunter. It reminded this jury that this is Biden town. You know, this is Wilmington. This is where the Bidens reside. And it says a lot about the jurors that they overcame that. There was obvious sympathy for the defendant. I had sympathy for the defendant. When you hear his account of his struggle with drugs, you can't be anything but empathetic. But there was also an unavoidable series of criminal acts in all of this. And by saying things like he might not have checked the box, or he had a moment of sobriety, or maybe he was just using alcohol, really, I think, might have insulted some of the jurors. The way that Lowell made it sound is that the question meant, are you doing drugs while you're purchasing this weapon?
I mean, you fill out the form.
He narrowed it so much.
Very interesting. That was Jonathan Turley. Early on, when it was reported that Jill Biden, First Lady Jill Biden, would be there, there were some people saying she's there to intimidate the jury. You know, the First Lady of the United States, the wife of the President of the United States, is sitting in this courtroom. Is she taking notes, you know, about all of this, and will she intimidate the jury? It's very interesting. In closing arguments yesterday, the prosecution lawyer said, and he looked at the audience, and he basically said, no one is above the law.
Right.
Seems we heard that in the Trump trial
recently.
So you're going to get a lot more reaction to this today. The legal analysts will all be out there offering their dime's worth of expertise on all of this, and we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, so folks, that is the breaking news this morning. Hunter Biden found guilty on all gun charges. His tax case, federal tax charges, that trial is up next. That isn't from I think rooted in activities in California. So Hunter Biden has a rough road ahead of him. We're not sure what the sentencing will be for the gun charges of which he is guilty, been found guilty, but we will wait and see.
Very interesting. Part of the evidence presented by the prosecution, do you know where they drew the evidence from? That laptop.
The
laptop. That's right, because there were videos on there, and you could see him doing it. Drugs. It appeared like he was doing drugs and waving a gun around.
Yeah. Yes.
And so, you know, the question was, whose gun was it? What were you doing with it? How'd you get it?
Yes.
So that's how all that started. And to your point, Fred, that laptop that was initially by many of the mainstream media said this is not Hunter Biden's actual laptop, and this sounds like Russian disinformation, all that kind of stuff before the elections.
So. Yeah. The stories kind of run together. Was it the laptop that also had emails on there?
Well, that laptop
is the big man email laptop?
I think that's right.
Yeah. It is a treasure trove of information that the mainstream media and the Justice Department basically quashed. Certainly before the election.
That's right.
You remember all
the
of that.
Of it. Yeah. Okay.
So the question is now, the DOJ is giving credibility to that laptop. Will that be used in perhaps some other cases?
Right.
Some there was a list of, what was it, like 51 members of the intelligence community who signed onto a letter saying this laptop looks like Russian disinformation.
Absolutely.
And it was absolutely election interference in 2020. Because they did not want this laptop getting out and Joe Biden having to answer questions about whether he was the big guy, whether Hunter Biden working.
They knew that it would have distracted President Biden's team from their debates and their discussion and his path to presidency.
Yeah.
It would have been a distraction for them. Yes. So they squashed it.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So many elements in this case.
Those are the things that gets forgotten about. So I'm glad on AFR,
right?
We bring that back up.
We're talking about
we're talking about
it. That's right.
Yes.
Well, you know, on American Family Association, on our programs, we support our men and women in uniform.
Yes. Amen.
And we want to keep telling their story on this network. Today, very sadly, there is a memorial service for the latest murder. You know, the mainstream media likes to talk about the killing of a police officer. No, police officers are being murdered.
Yes.
And this is a case in Minneapolis. You will remember in the wake of George Floyd, they turned against their police force there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a police officer who died just a few days ago. He was called. They got a call, a 911 call, to go to the scene of a shooting. He gets there, this young police officer, his name is Jamal Mitchell, and he gets there and he believes he's going to help someone who was wounded. Well, it turns out that person had a gun and shot and killed this young officer. Mm. Memorial service being held there today. So remember, certainly that family. There'll be hundreds from across the nation at this service. But there was a story last week that was particularly irritating. We had a trooper who was killed, in this case, in Connecticut. And the story comes from Wethersfield, Connecticut. They wanted to fly the thin blue line flag,
right,
which is black and white with a thin blue line,
right,
to honor police officers. Do you know there were city council voted against that because they said that flag is offensive? Now, I want you to...
Where was this?
This was in Wethersfield, Connecticut, all right? Here's a little bit of the conversation from that city council meeting, cut number 10.
I will absolutely not support the thin blue line flag. That flag was either created or at least became very prevalent in direct response to the Black Lives Matter protests. It's viewed as antagonistic, even if you don't see it that way.
It's become emblematic of white nationalist, neo-Nazi, and alt-right movements in the United States.
Can you imagine? They just want to fly this flag in honor of this trooper who was killed on the job, and they're worried about it being offensive to people.
You know, Wesley, this we talked about this yesterday when we talked about how far left the Democratic Party has gone, or how far left the progressives, quote unquote progressives, have gone, listening to those people say those kinds of things, this is why a lot of people are starting to turn away from the left, because they are, the left is filling up with crazies. That was crazy talk.
Yeah, if you're offended by flag that's in support of police officers in their day-to-day jobs, then you're the problem.
Now these are two different cases of death for police officers, but in Minneapolis, the cop is black.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, lots of black men and women serve this country in that thin blue line.
Yep, that's right.
So to say it's about white nationalism, it's just insanity.
Yes, it is. It's ignorant. I bet he did it. I bet the guy that said that doesn't even know what you just said about the officer being black. So,
all right, folks, listen. We're going to expose the craziness on this show.
Yes.
And continue to do it.
We're not talking about me.
Right.
We're not talking about you.
That's right. We're low-level crazies.
That's right.
This is high and deep level craziness that we're talking about. All right, folks, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. As I said, we got to cool down these brains, like when a computer is doing all kinds of great computations. 5-minute break for news. When we come back, we'll have more on today's issues.